The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, Jason Weingarten. Kind enough to hang out with us. We still hear from Dan Bespris on the NBA as well. Much to talk about as the season winds down. By the way, congratulations, Sacramento Kings, Kelly. First time in 16 years on the way.
Oh, great.
Good for them.
Some of the jokes that I was
on
seeing.
On the way to the postseason, I should say.
Some of the jokes I was seeing on Twitter last night and this morning, just fantastic. One of those times when Twitter's actually great where the – like, I saw one of the last time that the Kings were in the playoffs, Pluto was still a planet, things like that. Like, it's fantastic.
Pluto was still a planet.
Pluto was still
That's
a planet.
Right. Remember that day we got in here, we're like, wait, Pluto's not a planet?
Pluto's not a planet
what
anymore.
What about all those classes in first grade when I was doing the planets? What do you mean Pluto's not a planet? Congratulations to the Sacramento Kings. What a season. Congratulations to Mike Brown, who's going to be the coach of the year. Nice job by Drew cashing those long tickets on him. Anybody else who had Mike Brown? It's going to happen. Trust us. It's going to happen. If he's not coach of the year, what's a coach of the year? New York Jets, you're on the clock. Longest drought now of any North American professional sports team in terms of the postseason.
Well,
that's hard to believe.
Yeah, I know, right?
The Jets, 12 seasons now. Sacramento went 16. You're on the clock, Jets. Jason Weingarten, again, at Spreadopedia. For under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. Let's talk about some of these derivative markets, Jason, because I was just talking about earlier on the show how I used to bet hundreds of baseball games a season daily, and it consumed my life. Even when VSiN first started, right, like some of my first shows were like going through every pitching matchup, going through FIP. I'm sure it was riveting radio, by the way. FIP and BABIP and going through it, you know, game by game and matchup by matchup, because it was a different era of baseball. By the way, markets have changed in that if you're not betting overnights, oftentimes the line is gone. In those days, and by the way, this is amazing. We all kind of lose track of how time moves. When I say in those days, it sounds like I'm talking about the Eisenhower administration. I'm talking about like 2014, 2015, 2016, even 2017, that you could still talk about baseball betting in a way that you can't today. And so you have to sort of adapt, and some of the ways that some of us have adapted is by betting derivative markets more, like first inning bets. You also dive into hits, runs, and errors. Is there any wisdom you would like to impart about those for people?
Yeah, well, I mean, one thing that's pretty prevalent, I noticed, yesterday, every sportsbook account and every hack and bum, and I don't have nice words to describe most of these people. They were all talking about no run in the first inning. And it's just so prevalent these days. It kind of reminded me of, you did that interview with Chris Andrews earlier this week where you had him on the show. He was talking about Fezzik and everything. He was talking about the parlay exposure, and all he can do is manage the exposure. You know, he was really adamant about there's a limit to what you can do with the dead numbers. And I thought that was a really, really insightful segment. I learned a lot from it, but what I took away from it was goes to baseball and to first innings. You know, I've heard from a lot of these books, they just get insanely one-sided action on the no score, and there's nothing you can do. You know, there's just nothing you can do when you're getting, $10 for every $1 you're getting on yes, other than, manage the exposure, know you have a good line, and let people bet into it. So, I'm past the point of trying to teach people and trying to change people's opinions. I care more about my own betting than teaching people, how to bet first innings. If betting the no score makes you happy, by all means, go out there and do it,
right.
Yeah. But you're the kind of knucklehead that lays 17 to win 10 and wins and then loses the next bet and still kind of thinks you're ahead when you're obviously not.
Yeah. That's a great, and I understand your frustration too, because again, if your instinct is to bet the nose on these things, then, we've said many times on this show, that shouldn't necessarily be your instinct. Nothing's 100%.
Yeah, and you see people, they'll write 2,000-word explanations for why they're betting the no.
Right.
It's just writing 2,000 words, letting everyone know you're an idiot. Like, you know, you're justifying a bad bet with you know, bad backup or whatever you want to say.
Well, it's 2,000 words. Let's be clear, right? It's 2,000 words about a justification for something that, how can we put this without sounding, because you always run the risk in some of this of sounding like, you know, I know everything and you know nothing. We don't want to be that. But what we do want to say is that we've done this for a very long time, and some of that 2,000-word justification is not based on any justification it ought to be based on. Let's put it that way. And so it's some of these things are much more mathematical than they are based on this pitcher does this and this particular inning, that sort of kind of narrative. By the way, I really appreciate you bringing up that thing about Chrissy and managing risk, because within that whole Chrissy versus Fezzik thing, there were a couple really great nuggets. Like, that's going to take people off the scent, the human conflict of it, or the human debate. But that was about all he can do is manage his risk. By the way, one other little nugget, which I think sort of got lost in that conversation, was he's got to do stuff manually. Like, I thought that was an amazing point that we didn't have enough time to seize on, right? Which is a whole nother aside.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah.
We said the limitations of the software.
Yeah, the limits of the software. I mean, that stuff is fascinating. Like, who would think that, right? You know, so.
But all that said, while we were at commercial break, I did bet the Brewers yes score plus,
there you
plus
go.
115.
So okay.
I also bet Roxy's win total unders. Literally from my phone when you mentioned them, I was like, all right, we're getting in on those.
We're getting in on Roxy, because Roxy knows his stuff despite his 2-3 last year. Roxy knows his stuff. And again, just to repeat that from Roxy, the season win total unders were on the White Sox and the Mariners. White Sox and Mariners from Roxy, if you want to get in on those. So again, with the first innings and the derivatives, we're on the air when those are sort of trickling out if we're lucky. So you did jump in again on which one?
Brewers Cubs got plus 115.
Okay.
I expect actually a lot of these lines are going to be slightly higher at game time. I was surprised some of the openers were relatively low. My limits are also relatively low on some of these, so I didn't really feel like waiting. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to bet all the overs. I'm going to bet all the yeses on those 6.5s you mentioned today.
All the yeses. Listen, everybody. All the yeses on the 6.5s. Now, again, we're not going to give away the secret sauce on that, but within that statement ought to be a nugget of wisdom if you're reading between the lines. So all the yeses on the 6.5s. And again, those will all be plus money. And based on which book you're looking at, they could all be really good plus money. Ought to be much, much higher than even the number that Jason just gave out. So you'll bet the yes on all those. Is there any pre-flop full game bet that you'll make today, or are you steering clear of all of them?
I did make two bets. I mean, I'm not going to go the whole day without making a baseball bet. That's just
crazy.
It's not happening around here.
I was going to say.
Yeah, crazy.
So I bet the Brewers.
I bet Baltimore Orioles under 8.5 plus 100, and I laid the Astros against the White Sox to open the season. I laid 134. Fun fact: the Astros have a 10-game opening day win streak. I think it's tied for the record. Not that that really means anything one way or the other, but gotta point it out.
A fun fact that Jason is not basing his bet on. It should be pointed out. Yes. Okay, so so Baltimore Orioles game under in that game. Baltimore taking on the Red Sox. That's aligned at 8.5. So the under is at plus 100, widely available, under 8.5. And he's taking the Astros. Shop around. We're showing minus 138 on the Astros against the White Sox today, but you can see minus 132 in some spots right now. So again, with all of these, shop around. How much of your baseball betting when we get into the season, let's just take opening day aside, we hear you about the derivative bets. When you're betting pre-flop, how often are you betting them the night before as opposed to the morning of? Are you, because I always say with baseball, night before, right after lineups are set, are kind of the ideal times to bet them these days. Everything in between is sort of a no man's land. When do you find yourself betting them?
I usually get the first wave down either night before, or if I'm up really early, I could do it really early in the morning. Typically then after the first wave of bets, you're kind of just waiting for the market to settle and go to full limits. Then I can kind of go around and I can generally you know, based on experience, see what numbers have come back or what hasn't moved, what has moved. And then you have a general idea of whether or not you want to step in the market a second time and fade sharp action, or, you know, where you want to bet. A certain bet is also, you know, a calculation. So, you know, there's always stuff to do. It's generally busy, busier in the mornings, and then it kind of trails off until prop time.
Okay. And then season long bets, you gave a whole bunch on the show. You have said in the past that you've added tons, and you not only said it, but you have added tons during the season. But you did lament, I believe, last year that one was better than the other. Was it the preseason ones that ended up better than the in-season ones?
Yeah, generally preseason, early season tends to be the strongest time for my futures. You know, I've tried to refine my approach year over year.
How is that? How is that
going? I like to build. It's been going well. I mean, I have less futures than I have in the past. I heard you mention you bet Ohtani Cy Young, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't going to go into the season without a single bet on Shohei Ohtani, so I did end up betting that Cy Young future myself.
There you go.
I can't get behind the MVP at 2-1. I agree with everybody and to their reasoning why he's going to win. I just can't get behind the number. So
yeah,
took 12 on the Cy Young.
All right, Jason. Enjoy opening day, my man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Looking forward to talking baseball all season.
Should be a
fun year.
Jason Weingarten, as great a baseball mind as you will find at Spreadopedia. We'll come back. Kelly's golf bets next.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball this season with 24/7 streaming, daily best bet emails, including advice, data, and strategy for only $19. Our experts are also getting ready for golf's first major of the year at Augusta. This year's upcoming Masters betting guide will break down every golfer in the field, plus futures bets and matchups. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. You know, I'm going to watch baseball all day today. I will probably have some derivative bets. I won't have any pre-flop numbers, but I will have derivative bets that I will make, first inning bets for sure. I'll be on those with Jason as well.
Yeah, that was yes or over a half in every one of these games with a 6.5 total, right?
Yes, a run will be scored in the first inning on the 6.5s. We've been doing this for years, and it's been tremendously profitable. While, again, what Jason is saying is right. While there's a cottage industry of people telling you why you should bet no's, we'll be betting yeses today. And then sort of the other thing that I do want to just bring up with in-game betting on baseball, because in-game is a different thing, and I've already speculated about how these new rules might affect the run environment late in games with relief pitchers, because I think it might spike in a way that it otherwise hasn't. We'll see. I could be completely wrong about that. But I do think when betting in-game baseball, that what is not captured in the algorithm of in-game baseball, it's your little pro tip right here, Kelly. What is not captured in the algorithm is where teams are in their lineup, where they are in their batting order at a given time in games. So again, keep that in mind if you're betting in-game Major League Baseball, and that can apply to sides, that can apply to totals. These are just little baseball nuggets that, if you're looking for things that the market has not quite captured, I would argue that might be first and foremost.
Yeah, it's kind of in that same vein of, you know, the NBA player that he plays the entire first quarter and then goes to the bench at the beginning of the second quarter for the first 4 minutes. You want to make sure you're jumping in at the right time. The baseball lineup one was, you know, being honest, that's one I learned from you and Matt when we started Primetime Action, but that's one we took advantage of over and over again.
Many times. Many, many times. And by the way, since you bring up the basketball comparison, I just want to say that about, like, I was talking about betting baseball a decade ago versus today. You know, when starting pitchers stayed in longer and now they're generally pulled, you know, today's a different day because it's aces, but generally on a daily basis, they're pulled much earlier than they used to be. And then you have to try to harness bullpen, who's available, who's the manager going to put in. And like, you really got to devote time if you feel like you can wrap around that. But it's, again, it's its own animal, baseball. They don't, in the third quarter, they don't walk up to Giannis and say, "You've done all you can," and then tap their right arm and then take Giannis out and bring someone else in.
Well, it'd be like if Thanasis was coming in, but Thanasis was just as good, yeah, if not better, right? Like, I mean, that's right. It's like, okay, like, time for me to go play. I've been sitting for 3.5 quarters, yeah, but now it's time for me to go.
The example I used to give was, they don't go to Peyton Manning when he played for the Colts in the third quarter and be like, "Peyton, you've done all you can do today. I'm sorry. Your arm looks a little weaker." Like, so it's just its own animal, and so you have to just, you know, keep all of these things in mind. That said, one more before we get to your golf, Kelly. Odds to finish the regular season with the most wins and with the fewest wins, again, among the many markets, a myriad of markets. I mean, too many to even name that you can bet all throughout baseball betting here. And I do think it's one of these years, again, as we've talked about the chasm between the haves and the have-nots from year to year getting wider and wider. I don't know. I don't know if a team's going to get to 100. So betting, you know, odds to finish the regular season with the most wins, just like any other of these, it's going to be a little dicey. It's a regular season thing. The Astros, the Braves, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the usual suspects at the top, right? I think it's less likely for a team to eclipse them for odds to finish regular season with most wins as I do on the opposite of this, which is odds to finish the regular season with the fewest wins. Now that could produce a team that you're not expecting.
Wait, say that again?
So in other words, like the likelihood of, say, the Mariners,
yeah,
eclipsing the Astros, Braves, Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, all of them, to have the most wins, to me, is less likely than it is for a club to eclipse the conventional wisdom worst teams to have the fewest wins.
Well, let's check out those odds then, because I was surprised putting those together that the fewest wins odds, like you have a few teams that are way shorter shots, right, than the teams we saw to have the most wins.
Right. So I guess what I'm saying here is,
there's more value.
It makes sense that the Nats and the A's and the Rockies are at the bottom here. Apologies to those three clubs. But, I mean, they could be epically bad. But I don't know, like, would it surprise you that much? Let's just take the team I grew up on, the Baltimore Orioles.
Okay.
Who overperformed last year, right? We saw this with the Tigers. Like, the Tigers, Paul Spohr's big Tigers fan. It's like, oh, the Tigers are on the come up. They're going to be great. And then they suck again. Would it surprise you if a team like that, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, I haven't bet it, just full disclosure, but would it shock you if they just were miserable again?
No, not at all.
Because for all of these teams over 162 games, there is a spectrum where everything breaks your way and everything goes against you, and then there's the whole spectrum in between. So which of these teams could it just break against you in a way where you're like, oh my God, this team ended up being way worse than we expected? Like the D-backs, we've had people come on the show and say, oh, the Diamondbacks are going to be good. 30-1 to have the fewest wins. Would you be that shocked? Maybe you would be. By the way, the Tigers, let's not get even too sexy with this. The Tigers at 12-1 and the Royals at 14-1 are pretty great numbers.
That's what I was going to bring up.
The Pirates at 12-1 is a spectacular number for this.
I mean, the Pirates, Tigers, Royals, kind of that band, right?
That's a great call. That pocket is beautiful for this. I think those are all super justifiable bets. You don't even have to go crazy. Now again, I do think it's more likely that one complete outlier could take this as opposed to the teams with the most wins.
Yep.
Because there's a trade deadline, and because of that in baseball, that could tip the scales in a way where all of a sudden, like one of these teams that you thought was going to be a contender, there's inevitably going to be one of those teams that you thought was going to be a contender who's like, oh my God, this is going sideways for us. Let's sell everybody. So there's always that possibility. But that Pirates, Tigers, Royals band in the middle there, to use your word, band, 12-1, 12-1, 14-1, man, you got to take a shot on one of those.
I think the other way to, because I wanted to check what are the win totals, right, for everybody. It's like Royals, you know, like the Royals win total is 69.5. You're talking about a 7-game difference in what the A's win totals posted at.
And we just talked about how teams overperform and underperform all the time based on PyFag, based on base runs. There's a trade deadline. I think those are wonderful bets. I don't think I've ever used the word wonderful to describe a bet here on the show before, but I just did.
I think these markets are great, though, right? Like we dove into it's a different way of betting a win total in theory,
that's right?
And that is
with way more bang for your buck.
Way more bang for your buck. So like we hit that. Like I bet that one, but I know we talked about it heavily on the show. Is that with the Bucks to finish with the best record in the NBA? Right. It was the same way of kind of an in-season bet, but it's the same thing. A best record, right? That's what they're doing. That's what they're finishing with.
Like Jason Weingarten is super bullish on the under for the Marlins season win total, right? He said he says they're at least five games. They're at least lined five games higher than they ought to be. So you wouldn't take a 160-1 on the Marlins?
Just a little sprinkle.
Sprinkle me, man.
Just a little sprinkle, Gilly.
Sprinkle me, man. To quote the great E40. Golf bets. What do you got?
Yeah, we are currently in a delay. We were planning on doing this like an hour and a half ago, but we are in a fog/rain delay/ whoever's maybe watching really boringly at home, ESPN Plus, you could fill me in.
Could you describe the weather for us?
Yeah. It just looks really foggy from what I pulled up. So we only have 10 guys that have actually teed off. They are just in a suspended round. I focused a lot of my betting. I kind of talked about this yesterday, but I focused a lot of my outright betting and then first round leaders too, which I will get to that aren't I didn't talk about yesterday. I did focus on guys in the morning because the winds are supposed to pick up big time in the afternoon, and I'm hoping it's a little rain, Gil, but not too much rain. But if we get a little bit of rain and fog, that just makes those greens nice and soft and easy to land those approach shots on and not run off too much. So a lot of my guys go early here. Outrights again, Davis Riley, Matt Kuchar, Cameron Davis, Aaron Rye, Garrett Hego for this event. Did play top 20s on Riley, Kuchar, and Ryan Fox. Tournament matchups, Garrett Hego over Francesco Molinari. And Ricky Fowler, plus the 134 over Tyrrell Hatton. Ricky Fowler needing a win this week to get into the Masters next week. And to miss the cut, this was something Matt talked about a little bit yesterday, but I'm tailing him on this, is the Tyrrell Hatton to miss the cut at almost 4-1.
The whole take my clubs and go home angle?
Yeah, he's dealing with a hurt hand from last week. I read a quote from him yesterday. He's saying it's no problem, but obviously he's feeling well enough to play this week, but you know, that hand starts flaring up or you start playing poorly. It's pretty easy for these guys that are already in the Masters field to just say, all right, see you later. See you in a week.
See you next week.
Let me get to Augusta and start practicing real quick. First round leaders, Ryan Palmer's on the course already. I do have an 80-1 on him. Guys that have not teed off yet that you could probably still bet. I bet Davis Riley at 42-1, Ben Martin, 80-1, and Garrett Hego at 90-1.
The Valero Texas Open.
Catch the fever.
By the way, no tennis. It's not often that these tennis tournaments like drop off a cliff with bets, you know, once you get to the quarters and the semis. But the way that Miami's working out, to me, it's just a chalk fest. We did lose Sabalenka in a upset yesterday, so we're still rooting on Rybakina and Carlos to get home. We'll see if there's a bet tomorrow or the next day, but none today. Coming back with Dan Bespris on the NBA next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Don't forget, though, that before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets!
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes. So you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits. Yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out. Today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Databall at Databall John. Said, Gillis, someone with bets in the NBA most improved player market. I'm curious if you have the numbers on Lauri Markkanen's and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's kicked ball violations. Thanks in advance. I think he's kidding. But I do want to make a point, because I brought up the whole point about how Zach Lowe is not voting for Jokic because he has 47 kicked balls. Like, yeah. I'm not even making that up. But I do want to make a point that he brings up, and thank you, Databall, for bringing this up, because one of the things lost in the Tim Bontem straw poll, the Timmy Goodtime straw poll.
It's if you keep cruising down, yep.
Yes, is that if you keep cruising down, to use Kelly's words, in the 10-7-5-3-1 voting system, that after Embiid, Jokic, and Antetokounmpo, and again, Jokic has two more first-place votes in the straw poll than Embiid, but Embiid edges him by two aggregate score points, that Jason Tatum's fourth, Luka Doncic is fifth, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is sixth, with 3 fourth place votes and 23 fifth place votes. So we're not saying that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to win the MVP, but back to the most improved player talk, because what have we said on this show for months about most improved player? That most improved player historically in the NBA, this is not an opinion, this is just factually, historically, it is given to a player that is already kind of established in the league and then goes from already established to near elite or really, really good, notch below, level below. It does not historically go to someone who comes from kind of nowhere, NBA nowhere, if you will, not those of us who are big sports fans nowhere, but NBA nowhere, to being, oh, he's a really good player now. And that's exactly what we've been calling about this most improved player, which is Lauri Markkanen, who fits that latter category, is the prohibitive favorite. And we've said on the show over and over that it typically goes to a guy like Shai. So does this straw poll, is the real news of this straw poll not at all the Embiid, Jokic, Giannis thing, but the fact that Shai is that highly touted, even in an MVP market?
I like that we didn't have this conversation off-air separately, because it was one of the bigger things that I took away quietly. Like, I'm at the point of, look, if you give it to Markkanen, if you give it to Markkanen or SGA for most improved, I'm fine with it. I understand what Markkanen's done in Utah.
He's amazing.
Does not typically fall what you just broke down, but he's been incredible there for the Jazz. I'll accept my fate if I lose my SGA tickets, but I think seeing all those votes, at least for the fourth, fifth place for him, it made me feel better about my SGA tickets today. That's for sure.
Man, I just think it's an interesting little sidebar from it. Primetime at primetime_bets. Our buddy Jason Weingarten can lead a horse to water, but can't make him drink on the yes run first innings. This is All right, we'll get through some of these. Mario Romero, yes on 6.5. We're talking over 6.5, right? No. Mario, we are not talking about over 6.5. That's not what we're referring to. On the games that are lined with a 6.5 total, we're not betting the over on that. We're betting when the first inning markets come out, yes, on a first inning run will be scored. So I just want to clarify that. Because baseball, again, you got to be real sort of specific about that and clarify it. Paul Medina, fog, by the way, Kelly in San Antonio, hoping to start again in 30, 40 minutes. There you go. There's your weather update.
Nice. I saw the fog.
Yeah, from San Antonio.
Didn't know how much rain was sprinkled
You wanted a barometric pressure and that
kind
of thing?
Well, I knew there was rain expected this morning. So.
Okay. Kelly wants the humiture, if you can get that for him. He'd like that. Dan Bespris joins us, ladies and gentlemen. He's got the best audio in the biz. There's no question about that. Fantasy NBA Today podcast, sportsethos.com, where he is still desperately trying to get from assistant GM to GM at sportsethos.com. Still an assistant GM. How you doing, man? Dan Bespris, everybody. What's happening?
It's tough, Gil, to take that last leap when you're just a plain bagel of a man.
Plain bagel. That really caught
on. Hey, happy opening day. I know I'm a basketball guy, but this is a holiday.
You, it should be mentioned to people, are an actual former play-by-play guy for a high single-A franchise, right?
This is true. Yes, I did 2 years in Visalia. I did 6 years with the Bakersfield Blaze. I will forever be the last broadcaster ever for the Bakersfield Blaze. Very weird title to hold. But
do you miss doing that?
I miss the games. I still do some play-by-play kind of in and around Los Angeles, mostly college stuff. What I don't miss is the 15, 16-hour work days, 150 days in a row. That aged me unnecessarily.
That's the reason why Dan won't take off his hat, everybody. Just letting you know.
Yeah. Oh, the hair that my dad used to refer to as the out-of-bounds marker, and it just keeps moving farther.
Well, you were great at it. Everybody can tell when they're listening to you. You have the voice for it. I would love to hear you get back into that, but I get it. You're doing stuff you enjoy now as well. What about that? So we just referred to, there was a tweet there from Databall talking about, you know, the MVP vote. So Tim Bontemps did this straw poll 3.0 from Timmy. And Joel Embiid, two fewer first place votes, but two points greater than Jokic on aggregate score. And there's Giannis lurking. And it's kind of reflected perfectly in the betting market, odds-wise. That's kind of where it stands. Embiid and Jokic is a total coin flip at this point, with Giannis just slightly behind them. You can't get the 5-1s on Giannis anymore either. What is your gut telling you, Dan, as to who you think will win this, and who would you vote for?
Well, I would vote for Jokic. I think Embiid is going to win it. I think it's the three in a row thing. And I know, I know it doesn't, it's not a math thing anymore. It's the NBA, I think, would like to redistribute this thing. And you and I, Gil, we've talked like multiple years in a row about how they want it to be Luka, and it's just not Luka yet.
Yep.
So I think they want to get off Jokic, however they can possibly figure out a way to do it. And now they have this path here where the world has put them neck and neck, and I think they're going to take this sort of, to me, the path of least resistance for the league is to give it to somebody new and then worry about everything else again next year. I personally think Jokic deserves it more, but I don't have a vote, and I'm going on what I think I'm seeing out there. And what I think I'm seeing is that they'd like to get it to Embiid.
Okay, well, I'm going to try to use my finest English words to ask the follow-up question to this, which is, isn't that utter crap?
Yes, that is utter crap. But storylines matter, and so you got to market it. And marketing is easier, I think, if you can get more faces into it and get a new face into it. So I kind of understand where they're coming from the non-sensible standpoint. But they've got a business to run, so you got to think about it kind of from that standpoint. And like, we're a bunch of analysts arguing about it, but they need to make sure that the people at large see more faces and more superstars. And so I kind of understand it from that sense. But yes, from the, does this actually, like, is this the right choice? Yeah, then that's crap.
Okay, let me just ask a basic question, because we are really close to the sun. We're talking about all these different betting angles. But I like to just ask this broad question that we don't normally, which is, who's in the Western Conference Finals, Dan, at this point?
Oh, man. The West is impossible. I've spent almost every car ride I've been on lately thinking about that question, which tells you that I'm a little bit of a degenerate and I have problems.
I love that you think of this. My
kid's like in the backseat yammering about God knows what, and I'm in the front just daydreaming. Who's going to win the Western Conference this year? does that make me a good father? Probably not.
Father of the year.
Does that make me? Yeah, I know. Problematic situation here for yours truly. We saw Kevin Durant come back yesterday. His health obviously is paramount in this discussion. I have trouble going away from Phoenix because the argument against the Suns right now is that they don't have depth, and that doesn't really matter in the playoffs, at least not as much. Now, if somebody goes down, but you can make that argument about anybody. That's how the playoffs always are. Which team stays healthy throughout it? It's hard for me to not pick the Suns in the Western Conference if Kevin Durant is in there. It's such a heat, man. Like, do you look at any of these teams and see one of them as a clear, they're going to come out of the West thing? Like, I look at the East and I see the Bucks as like a shoulder length above the other teams. I don't see that club in the Western Conference.
Well, I don't know about coming out, but I'm just trying to get, okay, who would be the two teams to meet in the Western Conference Finals? And to answer that, I guess I have to respect Denver enough to say Denver, I think.
Yeah.
But that's when
I think so too.
That's when it becomes a pick your poison. Do you think the Suns can gel quickly enough with Durant, or do you just by default say a team like the Warriors because you've seen it already? You can make a case for any of them, I guess is what I'm saying. Even the Sacramento Kings, who people like to dismiss. Can you stay after the break, Dano? Is that possible for you to stay after the break?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I was risking it. Could have happened, Kelly, right there, where someone was like, no, Gil, I can't. And I don't appreciate you asking me right then in front of everybody. Dan Bespris joins us on the other side. Continuing. More basketball questions on the Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, are you? Well, you could also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800. Gambler. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Rick Olier. Sorry I'm a little late on this, but all I have to do is send in beards to get banned from the South Point? All this time I had been walking around with my bow and arrow using the using the pinion on a horse statue as target practice, and I was at the tables within minutes. That is a very specific South Point tweet.
That is that's a Hall of Famer tweet right there, though. That is
phenomenal.
Put that in the hall. That is great.
Oh, man. Scotty B, 726. I live 3 miles from the JW Marriott, San Antonio. Not much fog by my house, but it's awful wet. Jason H. 11 with a little weather update as well. Let's see. Jeffrey.
Thanks. Look at all the boots on the ground chiming in.
Jeffrey, boots on the ground. I love it. Jeffrey
we're big in San Antonio. We're known for that.
Big San Antonio. Real big. Jeffrey S. DeVore, apologies if it wasn't covered earlier this week, but any news as to why college baseball run line slash totals have disappeared? No, I have been dabbling a little in the old college baseball on the side, it should be noted. And as I mentioned, I will have my first futures college baseball plays coming up here later in the week, I hope. But if not early next week. But I have not done that because I have not noticed that because I'm just doing money lines. So I have not noticed if there's any some like widespread thing on that. But thanks for pointing that out. And I'll check it. I'll sort of look into it. In game into membrane.
Remember, that is fantastic.
That's awesome.
That is fantastic.
In game into membrane. Remember when MLB opening day was basically a national holiday? Only one game on national TV. Sad. Yeah, man. Like, I just think about when, let's go back.
Is that true? One game on national TV today? That's it?
That's what the man said.
Wow.
When I was a kid, which was 1930s, Kelly, 1920s. No, but when I remember, like, there was the Reds used to play on opening day. There was, like, two games on opening day. And it always was the Reds and somebody else, I think. Or at least that was for a couple seasons or a few seasons, whatever it was. And then remember they transitioned instead of like, and then remember there was a couple years where they did the games in Asia, two games, like the A's would have two random games that were actually regular season games. But years before that, I remember Joe Pita and I would bet like the opening Sunday night baseball game. So for most of our adult lives, there would be one game on Sunday night baseball and then a whole bunch of games on Monday. And now we've gotten to this, every game is being played on Thursday. And I feel like Major League Baseball is not making a big enough deal about this.
The tweet is correct. We have one game on national television.
One game on national TV.
White Sox at Astros, ESPN tonight, 7 o'clock. Wow.
Yeah.
Apple TV again this year? I don't even know.
We doing that again?
Are we doing that again? I feel like all I heard was complaints last year.
Keno Walker, VSiN in the morning is the place to be. Gilly Kelly, sprinkling. He keeps writing, would you sprinkle me? Would you sprinkle me? It's a tribute to E40 again. Sprinkling on the money line, which we were going to do on something we were talking about earlier. Dan Bespris, kind enough to join us for a second segment, even though I gave him the option to just stick it in my face. I'm still waiting for somebody to be like, no, Gil, you're not that interesting, and I don't want to be here anymore. Goodbye. But he did not do that to me.
I think that there are three games on MLB Network, I believe, also.
Three on MLB Network. Okay. All right, there you go. That's national-ish. That's national-ish.
Oh, and I think Apple TV, you have to pay this year, too, by the way.
So, Kelly, you got to pay for that.
Oh, good, okay.
Just in case you were wondering. Not only can you not see it, you're going to have to pay for it to see it on Apple TV.
Yeah.
Do you bet baseball anymore, Dano? You used to bet baseball. Do you do that?
I do not. Yeah, I always found baseball to be unbelievably difficult, actually. I'm like constantly in awe of you all those years back.
Bro, I don't do it anymore either. I don't have time to do it anymore. I don't have the time to devote to it anymore daily.
It's unreal. It's so much. It's so much.
It's a lot.
NBA. Give me NBA or give me death.
Okay. So we won't give you death. We'll give you NBA because I have a question. Again, we were going over yesterday. We were going on over yes, no to make the playoffs. So not the play-in, the playoffs. Play-in?
Mm.
OKC is still yes plus 550. And this is one of these that we brought up yesterday. Where we're like, huh, to make the playoffs plus 550 on the Thunder, who did just squeak by the Pistons last night, 107 yeah. to 106, to keep that bet interesting. I mean, you look at these standings in the Western Conference, it is absolutely clustered close together. OKC currently in the number 10 hole, one game in the loss column better than the Mavericks, who keep faltering. Kyrie's like, I didn't expect this. And then Utah, who's also with 40 losses, but the Thunder's 38-39. So they have a relatively easy schedule down the stretch, easy-ish. Is plus 550 something you would take a flyer on for them to then either win one or two games in a play-in if they end up 7-8 or 9-10?
Yeah, that's a lot. I do like the Thunder. I think it's close to enough for me to make take a shot at that. Now, I'm going to actually assume that things end basically the way they are. The Mavs could obviously turn things on, although they, you know, it seems like the sky is falling out there with the Kyrie-Luka pairing. Who could have seen it coming? The Wolves playing well. I like what the Wolves are doing. I know they had a tough one in Phoenix. Lakers, now that they have LeBron back, it feels like they'll probably stay in the play-in. Pelicans have been actually playing really well lately. So it really does come down that those last couple spots, at least to me, Pelicans, Thunder, Mavericks kind of all fighting for that last one. And, you know, anything could happen there. But Lakers' schedule is also not obscenely difficult here down the stretch. I think the Thunder make the play-in. So that's sort of like step one in the process. But then winning a road game at New Orleans, which is the way it would be right now. And I know that they haven't played the same number of games, so they could flip-flop there. And then another road game at either LA or Minnesota. That's a tall order. It feels like that number is relatively close to accurate, but I mean, you could, what did you say? Sprinkle? You could sprinkle a little there. It wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world.
Let me ask you about a little crazier one. So Brooklyn wins last night. They're two games clear. They're in sixth place in the Eastern Conference. Remember, if you're 1-6, you are in the playoffs. It's only when you get into the play-in where it becomes an iffy proposition. So they have six games left, and it's kind of it's the easiest remaining schedule in the league, although they did clear Houston, so maybe it's not quite the easiest, but it's in the bottom group. They play Atlanta down the stretch. They play Utah, Minnesota, Detroit, Orlando, and Philly on the last game of the season, and who knows if Philly will even play that day with any kind of effort or personnel that they would normally play with. But they are 12-1 to miss now. They're two games ahead of the in the loss column. Why is that hard to say? Loss column of the Miami Heat. 12-1, enough for you to take a flyer on Brooklyn just all of a sudden gacking some games down the stretch and finding themselves in the play-in? No?
No, I don't think okay. they'll make it. I feel pretty good about that. And like you said, I don't think Philly plays that last ball game. Philly seems like they're on a nice little number three island. By the time you get to that last ball game, that's going to be locked in. You won't see Embiid or Harden in that one. So the Wolves, probably the Hawks, they're playing, but they're not a particularly tough team these days. I call it a coin flip. The Wolves is probably the only game I look at on that board and think, yeah, they got a good shot to lose this game. So 4-2 down the stretch, that's the Heat would have to dramatically turn things around for me to worry about that.
Only two games in the NBA today on a Thursday, as is often the case on a Thursday. That there's few games, but now with baseball, there's just two games. Celtics and Bucks, Pelicans and Nuggets. Any thoughts on either of these? Bucks favored by 2.5, Nuggets by 6.5.
Well, we know Jokic is questionable, so that makes that second one pretty difficult. I think the line has dropped precipitously, so I'm assuming Jokic is out based on that information. I might back the Nuggets without Jokic on the easier line, but nothing big. Celtics Bucks, at least we know that one will be competitive. The teams both want to win it, so that's good. It's hard to back the Nuggets, though, in that second one, even on the cheaper price, because the Pelicans probably do want this game more. And, you know, you rarely want to back the team that has lower motivation in a particular ball game. This is, as we've talked about a million times, Gil, an unbelievably difficult time of year to bet the NBA. Late scratches, all that kind of crazy stuff. Do the Celtics and Bucks hold anything back to save something for the playoffs? Probably best to leave this one alone. Yeah.
Nuggets favored by 6 still, but we'll see if that moves. Last thing, one word answer. The team that no one is expecting to win a first round playoff series will be, but will?
I think the Kings are better than everybody gives them credit for. Okay. No matter what they do, they don't give them credit.
See if they match up with the Warriors. Thank you, Dano. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.